Today on our show,
we are returning to the format where we determine for you who is the superior something at something. In this case, who is better, Matt Damon or Ben fucking Affleck?
That's right, y'all. Paul, hit it!
If I might say, there's an early vote for Matt Damon.
I love Matt Damon.
I love Ben Affleck too, so who knows?
Well, it's going to be a tough one. Absolutely will be.
Paul, would you tell for the kids like how we do this? Because if anyone who's new to this
after
this
you
thing,
introduce the show.
Oh, sure. Sorry. Everyone, this is the Countdown Podcast, and it's episode 464, and my name is Wayne.
You'd be forgiven for not recognizing the fact that we've done this 464 times before. Yep. My name is Paul. Welcome to the podcast. We count down stuff in order of awesomeness, and today, Ben Affleck and Matt Damon films. So we have put them in a pool and we said to ourselves, rank them from 10 through 1. Doesn't matter if they're both in one, if one's in one.
That makes it more interesting though, I can tell you.
Yeah, although, yeah, I'm not counting. If one's got a big part, the other one's got a little.
No, no, fuck off. If they're both in it, they get the same point. That's how it's going to be, Cuntox. I'm telling you, man. Then it's not that.
If Matt Damon pops up and does one line in a Ben Affleck joint.
Oh, wait, how do you quantify that though? So for example, we can't spoil it, right? But we'll talk about it as it goes along. But I always thought to myself, the reason this one is weird, everyone, what we do is we'll give we'll say this is our top 10 movies with either of them in it, and the higher up they go, the more points they get.
Yeah.
And at the end, we crown a winner.
Inverse scoring system. Our number 10s are worth 1 point each. Our number 1s are worth 10 points each. And that way, we tally up our points together and we crown someone the winner. Last time we did this, I can't remember if it was the Toms or was it the Chris's?
Wasn't it the fucking, like, There was Van Damme, Steven Seagal's? There was one of those.
I don't know if we've ever done that.
There was
one.
Something like
maybe
that.
Maybe we did. I know we did. Arnie and Sly was the very first one we
Arnie
did.
Arnie and Sly,
this.
Yeah.
We crowned a winner out of that. But yeah, so there you are. That's the way this is going to work. Clearly, it's going to be controversial because we're going to have to agree on this somehow or
good.
Another.
Well, we'll just fight about it as it happens. It'll be more fun for the kids.
Sure. Let's just do that. And yeah, we decided, with thanks to B Dizzle, who was the one who specified this one, but I think it was Chris Yeeney who, in our Facebook listener community chat, brought up that, hey, you guys don't do that versus one topic much anymore. And I would say it's been a good 150 episodes since we have. So why not? Let's revisit it and do it today. And it should be a lot of fun.
Damn straight. Let's go, Polly.
Before we get into that, though, we need to kick it off with the segment which kicks off most every show. It's called The Recount.
Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount? Who wants a recount?
The recount is our mailroom. Paul, what happened this week?
Well, we had a vote, Wayne, and this time the vote was from 462, where we did the top 10 comedies of the new millennium. 41 votes this week, and again, with thanks to Choice Spinner for putting it out there to run our lists that they can follow up with a week or so after they drop. This one's close. Very, very close. I started with making all the running early. I was way ahead, and you just clawed your way back in, sir.
What?
In the end, though, I won 54% to 46%.
Ah.
19 votes to you, 22 to me.
Not bad.
Here's some of the feedback that we got on that particular vote. B Dizzle, the aforementioned who gave us the topic today from the We Watch the Thing podcast, said, I don't think anyone could pick a less funny film than Goldmember. I love Austin Powers, but that is not a good movie.
Uh-huh.
Then Paul completely bungles the brief with Scott Pilgrim. A film that's not a comedy and also is a huge fan of the original books. A fine film and not as good adaptation. But then Wayne goes ahead and picks European Gigolo. Good God. This episode was truly a wild ride. Vote for Paul. Lovely. Talked us through.
Not a huge surprise.
His voting presence there. Jonathan Kidd said, despite Scott Pilgrim being utter trash, Paul, what? Wayne just shat the bed, the carpet, and the dog on this one. Even Rob Schneider would vote Paul.
I think I see the way the wind's blowing on this one.
No, that was absolutely some votes for you, although me and Harker, aka Dan, said I agree with Beaters all vote for Paul. So again, Goldmember, I lost you a few votes there.
Fine with it.
David Power said, Goldmember is a fine comedy. I'm with Wayne on this one. On the other hand, Deuce Bigelow, Two Blows, and Pop-Tart, Never Stop Sucking, is the least funny movie ever made. So I guess that's a vote for
me. Oh, Popstar. Yeah. No, I knew I was losing with that one. I just put it in. Actually, I didn't put it in, but I mentioned it. So there you go.
Alan Smith, though, said, Paul had way too many terrible films or non-comedies. My number 8, 4, 3, and 1. Ooh, okay. And Wayne picking role models and Jump Street Line gives him the win. Keep on keeping on, Wayne Arizu.
There you go.
Yeah, okay.
About time.
John Amanda for the Pint Comics podcast. The Pint. Sorry, John, I keep doing that wrong. The Pint podcast said, Juice Bigelow 2? This may be a sign that the show is ready for its final episode. Or a sign that Satan is coming to Earth. Either way, vote for Paul.
Damn, Hootie and the Burnfish. All right.
Aaron Dundee said, I'm throwing Wayne Arizzo a bone this week and giving him my vote. Although it was tragically low, he was the only one who put Superbad on his list. And I must say, as a young teen, I did enjoy Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo.
Ha.
And it's, in fact, still in my DVD collection this day.
Wayne, boom!
If you never have, I suggest tracking down a physical copy and checking out the bonus features. They are quite titillating.
I imagine there would be some New Jack Titty. Mm. All right, let me check it out.
Yeah, yeah. And Timothy Williams said, I respect Wayne's picks because Goldmember is shit ass, but I would have had dinner with schmucks in my top 10. I know most people think that's shit ass too. Wayne gets my vote.
Well, I really didn't like that film. Dinner with Schmucks. Yeah, yeah. I did not like it, but I'm glad you voted for me.
Timothy, shame on you. Shame, shame.
No. I think shame. Great work.
Imagine
great
if Wayne had won by one vote now, how you would be feeling.
How you'd be feeling. You'd be the one shitting your pants and masturbating the Glee. All right, so there you go.
So Glee would be the right
okay,
word.
Furiously masturbating.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's the feedback for this week. Let's get into it then as we anoint the winner. Wayne, take us away with your number 10 film and the first point that's going to be awarded to one of these two fine gentlemen. Well, maybe fine gentlemen. We don't know.
They're probably okay. Okay. So my number 10 is a film that I always thought was tragically underrated. It is proof that this filmmaker was once great and I actually really, really liked it, and I'm surprised how much I liked it. It's Dogma.
Yeah. Kevin Smith.
Kevin Smith. Dogma. So Dogma is...
they're both
is...
in this one and they're both in it equally, right?
Yes, Paul. So they both get the fucking point,
in this
bitch.
Case, it's all right. It's not okay. In
we'll see, motherfucker. Oh, we will. All right. So, yes, Dogma, ladies and gentlemen, is a
making
film...
making the scoring hard, you wanker.
Look, you're the... yeah. Look, it was... that's what makes it interesting, Paul. Now, Dogma is a film about two fallen angels who were Matt and, you know, Ben. And they're on Earth and they're dealing with, you know, Jay and Silent Bob. And it turns out Alanis Morissette is God. And then Linda Fiorentino's in it because she's tight and things like that. Now,
that's not why she's in it.
That's not why she's in it. But it was, in fact, a film that was doggedly pursued and maligned by
people of
Catholics.
Faith.
Yes. So much so that they picketed. And then Kevin Smith famously joined the picketing because just for a gag, like, I'm going to walk in there.
Thrill me.
Yeah. And so, but like, if you look, and even in the beginning of the film, I remember this, because I was brought up very Catholic, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. It says at the beginning, it's like, look, just take this as, this is a trifle of a film. It's a gag. Just have a laugh with it. Okay. They knew it was going to be trouble. And then, of course, it's talking about, because they're both angels of death, so they kill people. It's a whole thing. But it is, if you look at the film itself, very deftly handled, in my opinion.
Okay.
And I think that the way that they worked it out, and it's, again, I it's sad that he hasn't got this edge anymore to his writing. It's so, it's really, really funny, but also quite harrowing. So, yeah, I love Dogma, so that's my number 10.
Okay. Yeah, not a film I remember much about at all, which, surprisingly enough, is something that I've thought about quite a few of these guys, gentlemen's films, so much so that one of them I had to rewatch today because
really?
I remembered so little about it to see if it would make my list, and we'll come to that
I get it.
Perhaps later. My number 10, Wayne, is a film that you hate and I don't understand why. It's directed by Joe Carnahan, it's Smoking Aces.
Piece of shit.
It's Ben Affleck.
Piece of fucking
point
shit.
For Ben. And he was top billed in this film. Top billed in this film, which is basically about a... what do you call it?
About a guy trying to copy a Guy Ritchie film and failing.
No,
go on.
No, it's
go
not
on.
At all. Shut the fuck up. It is. It's a film about a snitch, and the mob know he's going to turn on them, so they send a whole bunch of killers to kill him. And then there's Ryan Reynolds. He's an FBI agent, and then Ben Affleck's a bail bondsman who, along with a couple other guys, is trying to keep this guy alive and getting to where he needs to be to testify. All these various groups and assassins and killers come together. Chaos ensues. A good film erupts, and Wayne's wrong. And in the crossfire, very early on, I'd say one third of the way through the film, Ben Affleck dies. So they used him to sell this film in 2006 and then killed him off because probably they couldn't afford to keep him on the payroll the whole time.
And I think the mark was Ari Gold.
That is correct. He is Aces or whatever his name is.
Yeah, whatever.
Buddy Israel Aces, I think his middle name
is.
It's
interesting to me that you liked it so much and I hated it so much. I remember just going, this is the most try-hard version of a guy. Because the way it's shot and the way it's put together is they're just taking from the Guy Ritchie playbook. It is so unabashedly obviously a copy of his. That's why I had disdain for it. And then in the end, it just sounded weird.
I think most people agree with you. It's only got a 3-star average on Letterboxd. Yeah. But I like it. So
there you go.
Okay. What's your number 9?
All right. My number 9 is a old favorite of mine. It's Chasing Amy. Now, Chasing Amy is, again, a Kevin Smith joint. And this is definitely a Ben Affleck film.
Hooray.
And so...
does Matt Damon appear in it for like a line or two?
I feel like he probably does and I can't remember it. To me, it's a Ben Affleck film.
It is. That's the point I was trying to make. There are occasions where one will pop up. Yeah, Matt Damon's in this as a passing.
Okay, this is a Ben Affleck film to me. All right, but like, if we'll talk about other ones later on. Chasing Amy feels to me, it is about essentially Holden McCormick. Ben Affleck, he's a comic book writer, whatever. Successful comic book writer. Falls in love with this girl who happens to be...
Kevin Smith's girlfriend.
Kevin Smith's girlfriend at the time, Jory Lorden Adams. And she is... Look, I don't know how you would refer to this now, but back then it was she was kind of bisexual or something. And so he is basically having trouble, like men do, because he is jealous of the fact that she knows what burger tastes like, and so does he, and he's not sure that he can be with a woman who's been previously sexually promiscuous because it hurts his pride.
Well, she identifies as a lesbian in the film.
Oh, you're right. She was a lesbian, yes. And then she switched over, and all her friends like, why are you playing the pronoun game? Yeah. So yeah, that's right. The complexity, though, of the film isn't so much that. It's more his struggle with her past. And
you got to remember, this is a film that's 27 years old.
Exactly.
Right? I don't... This film would not fly today in any way, shape,
would
or form.
Would it not? No. Really?
No. And half of the to quote a pretty good review here on Letterboxd from Brian Brecker, half of this movie's problems will be solved by the word bisexual.
Right. Well, you know what's funny though, right? And this is again, look, well, let's not get into any woke culture stuff, but the reason that this is even a theme in this movie at all is that Kevin Smith has gone on record and he said, well, my brother's gay. And the thing I ask him about is, when you go to the movies, how do you feel? And this is back then. He said, the one thing I feel as a gay man is that we are underrepresented. Like, when you're looking at a love story, it's always a hetero love story. You never really see a gay love story.
Starting to change these days.
Right. So, of course, yeah. So, but now, Kevin Smith is kind of a pioneer because he goes, oh, well, I'm putting that in my movie. You know what I mean? So, there's nothing but love here, people. But more importantly, the reason I love the film is that Chasing Amy feels like it was when I was that age.
Yeah, well, it was. 22.
I mean, was it 97. Okay, so them going to, you know, slam poetry meetings and we got friends doing this and we're trying to get ass here, but we're failing at getting ass. And you got a friend who's always trying to get ass and he also fails to get ass.
I never went to a slam poetry reading, did you?
Yeah, I did. But but even so, like, but it would always
The depths that Wayne would have gone to. I've just been exposed to.
I didn't go for ass, although there was sure. ass around.
Did you not go off your own bat?
Well, no, it was more. I think only the slam poetry.
But if you did, they would have kicked you out.
There you go. Well done. So, but like, it was more that it was more like, oh, my friend works at this bar and they're doing an opening for like for a single or something, and that happened every now and then. So it was
you're
more. Right.
Like, you were there, and you were just like, Marion, sweet Marion.
What?
Sorry, I made an X-Men reference.
Oh, okay, I didn't.
Harriet, not Marriott.
Okay. I'm going to take your word on that one, Paul. So it felt like I was at that age. And also, when you had carefree abandoned and you didn't realize yet because you had not turned 40 that all the stuff you care about, you shouldn't have given a fuck about at your young age.
Wrong. That's not what? The way you think about it. Everything at your age makes perfect sense. The fact that my daughter's biggest gripe in her life at the moment is that she has to do homework on a weekend. That makes perfect sense at that age. You're not meant to care about things that you would care about when you're post 40.
So I shouldn't be still complaining about homework on the weekend, Paul, which I do.
That's different.
Okay, no, that's a very benevolent way to be kind to yourself. But I remember thinking to myself, I can't believe I cared about that now, you know? So
called hindsight.
Hindsight. But Chasing Amy itself feels like a great movie, and it's so indie the way it's talking. And Banksy, played by Jason Lee. He's definitely the funniest thing about the film because he's talking about like eating
that whole
pussy.
Back and forth between him and Amy, where they're talking about all the injuries that they've gotten
sexually,
sex.
And he's like, "Yeah, then I changed my lapping speed and I was just eating pussy."
Yeah, throwback to the Jaws scene, which is Kevin Smith doesn't write that shit anymore.
That's what I'm saying. How did this? I don't know what happens if you go. This is like Quentin Tarantino. That's why he's quitting after 10, Paul. He doesn't want a De Palma.
Well, he's also taking his sweet ass time making number 10, you might notice.
Yeah, but if I was him, I'd be fucking milking that shit like a whore. So there you go. All right, my number 10, Chasing Amy.
No, you're number 9, actually.
Sorry, my number 9.
My number 9 also, by the way, Chasing Amy. So there
you go. Is
it? Yeah, nothing.
I didn't know you liked it that much.
Yeah, I like it. It's good. Whoa. I think it's, the best of the films that feature Ben Affleck. No, it's not. And Matt Damon. But anyway, it's here on the list. I had trouble with this list. Like,
so did I, Paul.
There are, I would say, the top 7, 8-ish, 7 for me. Are really good films. And after that, I don't think they made a lot of good movies.
Okay, so what I... Because the way I went about this list was I said, okay, go through their filmography and pick all the best ones and put them in order, right?
Yep.
Then put the two lists together and go, which is better than which one, and yada, yada, right?
That's all I did.
Yeah, me too, right? And so now...
And as much as I like both these gentlemen, we wouldn't be doing this podcast. Well, we might have done the Steven Seagal one because we hate him and hoped he'd lose.
Exactly.
But the reason we're doing this is I like them both for different reasons. We didn't even talk about this at the start of the episode, but normally we do. I kind of have a personal edge towards Ben.
Do you know what? I seem to like Ben better, but I think that Matt does better work. However,
it's probably fair.
But Matt's directed, and Ben, or not
ben,
that I know,
and
of.
Ben directs,
and Ben directs like two of them, right? Like,
and Ben has been his film has been nominated and won an Academy Award. So
yes, and let's not forget
who's more talented,
right? And Ben Affleck won the World Series of Poker himself.
Did he really?
Yes, he won it. It's better than all those other motherfuckers. And he's Ben
Jennifer
Affleck.
Lopez?
Oh, yeah. And then Jennifer Lopez. So the more personal achievements is definitely Ben. But, like, this is like, it's, I
you look at these two, right? And looking at back at, because of course, having seen some of these bits and pieces and watching a little bit for the episode, geez, Ben Affleck's a good looking dude. He was 10, 15 years ago.
You know what? This isn't on my list and I know it won't be on yours, but the new BVS, the Justice League thing, right?
No, it's not on my list.
No, it's not. But the 4-hour Snyder cut or whatever, right? At the end of that, there's a scene where they added in where he goes, he's Bruce Wayne and he comes out of his like summer house and he's talking to the Martian Manhunter. And if you look at him in that scene, which was shot like 3-4 years ago, he looks fucking like, I swear to God, he looks 30 years old, right? He's just absolutely like beefcaked and everything. He's a good looking rooster. And apparently he's like 6'5 with a head the size of this house. He's one of those guys with a huge head. So he's a big guy. Even look at Batman.
I joke about that somewhere. I can't remember what movie it is. Yeah. I'm sure it's Kevin Smith movie. They give him shit about his head.
Oh, really? Yeah, no. But he's bigger than Superman in the Batman movies, Batman v Superman movies. So he's a big guy. So there you go.
Yeah, so anyway, I guess if I was to say, you would ask me, who do I hope wins? I hope it's Ben Affleck. But you're right.
I like him. Matt Damon's made some
incredible films, as we will find out. Okay, anyway. That aside, your number 8 then, because both our number 9s.
Yes, my number 8 is The Talented Mr. Ripley.
Yeah, not on my list. They're not on your list? Very considered it.
Really? Yeah. So Talented Mr. Ripley is one of those...
3 points for Matt.
3 points for Matt. So he's a standard, he's a confidence trickster, shall we say? But he doesn't really, he's not played like that. He just happens to be the kind of guy who can infiltrate a group of people. He gets kind of a crush. He's kind of, I didn't notice until later on when Ben Affleck made a joke about it in one of his movies where he's supposed to be a gay serial killer.
Of course he is gay.
I didn't know he was gay. I just thought he was fond of Jude Law. I didn't know he was gay. See, I'm just very weird. I can't pick it up. I got no gaydar, Paul. I got no gaydar, okay. Which is ironically because I'm kind of gay. So it's like about a few things, let me tell you. But yes, yeah, so.
No, you're not.
Yes, enthusiastic, shall we say. But
you do not have to be enthusiastic to be gay. You can be non-enthusiastic.
I know. Paul's just getting me out of trouble here, ladies and gentlemen. That's what he's doing. And I'm just digging my fucking way back in. All right. So Talented Mr. Ripley, Jude Law, him, and Phil C. Haw. Or Phil Seymour Hoffman, right?
Never again.
Doing probably...
T to the C may have caught on, but that one ain't.
Well, what I love about this film is the film itself, you're showing Mr. Ripley, like him actually just going deeper and deeper and deeper into getting himself in this shit. He's murdering people. He's doing this. And there's just no way out. And the way the film ends is just kind of him sitting on a bed, the back of it saying, where does it end? And you, as a viewer, you don't really know. Philip Seymour Hoffman's performance in this is probably one of my favorite performances of his ever. Because he's so like charming and like...
We went to the cinema to watch this. I remember very little about it.
Really? Mm. Oh, no, I loved it. I remember going, wow, this is...
And this was novel 3 out of however many.
Is that so? I didn't know that.
So I just picked one and sort of ran with it. And I can't remember the woman. I think it's a woman who wrote these series novels. But Netflix is about to drop a series about Ripley.
Really?
Starring Andrew Scott, I think his name is, an English actor.
Oh, I'm unfamiliar. That might be cool.
Yeah, he was Moriarty in the Sherlock series.
Oh, I know him.
Yeah.
Thought he'd be a bit old for that, but there you are. Okay, fine. Very cool. Yes, so a big fan of this one, mine.
Okay. My number 8 is going to be on your list and higher, Wayne, because I know you were more enthused with it than I was, but I think it's a very good film. It's a David Fincher thriller where Ben Affleck, poor Ben Affleck, is put to the sword for his cheating ways by, well, I can't think of the name of
something. Rosamund Pike.
Rosamund Pike, it's Gone Girl.
Yeah, Gone Girl's great.
2014.
Much higher on my list. So David Fincher, probably my favorite director.
Of all time?
I want to say these days he is. Like he's, you know, he's done
even
some
after
stuff.
Mank and The Killer, which you didn't much care for?
We're going to do a video about that soon. It's going to be great. I found out some shit about The Killer, which made me like it heaps more.
Oh, well. All right. Okay, well, good. You're late to the party, but well
very
done.
Late, people. But yes, it was all the fact that drama. This is the fun thing. Like it's like, oh, I liked him in this film, or is it a better film? It's one of those things you're playing off against them. You give them a rank, but yeah, Gone Girl was so freaking great. I've seen it twice only, but a lot of it stayed with me.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. I think it's an excellent thriller. It's really well crafted the way it's put together.
Yeah,
and it has a very bleak's not the right word.
Maybe it's bleak.
Well, it's also maybe thematically appropriate. I don't know. It's very.
No
well,
one should be the punished end, that bad well, for, end, for the, slamming ass. Like just. End, well,
what a surprise coming from you.
Hey, it was that Blurred Lines girl. You can't really blame him.
Hang on. Can you imagine a world which Wayne is
the Supreme defending? Court
what do you mean? He just went out and slammed some ass.
No, but here's the thing. Rosamund Pike killed Barney from How I Met Your Mother. I think she's the worst one, Paul.
Well, there's no question she's the worst
one. There you go. So fuck her.
Yes. Well, no. You,
or rather.
He's allowed to do that, I believe.
Well, this is the thing, though. Okay, so he cheated, so she fucking fucked him up. But she shouldn't be able to do all this shit to him, so fuck him.
Yeah, we are spoiling a film 10 years old and, an older book. But look, yeah, it's a very well-crafted thriller, and I do remember the night that I saw it. Infamously, it was the hottest night in Perth history, literally.
You remember this shit? Yeah.
Driving home and my thermometer in my car was saying it was 35 degrees outside at 11:30 at night.
Fucking hell.
It was ridiculous.
Oh, we live in the sun, everyone.
Yeah, we certainly do. And it's not been much cooler of late. Wayne, what is your number 7?
Ah, well, now here's where we're going to talk about whose film it is, Paul, because it's Good Will Hunting.
Okay, they're both in it.
Absolutely. Yeah, this again, they need fine. To both get... Okay, fine. All right, I thought you were going to pull some shit. Like, no, he's the best friend. Right. He's a sidekick.
No, but I was more concerned about things like... Dogma.
Yeah,
Not Dogma.
Chasing Amy.
Chasing Amy, where one pops up for a little cameo.
No, I get that. So yes, Good Will Hunting. I think I saw an interview with Ben Affleck on the Howard Stern show where he was like, hey, is it true? Because the rumor was always that they flipped a coin to see who would play Will Hunting. And it's like, oh, okay. But Ben Affleck said, no, none of that happened. What happened was when they were both in the acting kind of like being, you know, budding actors, they had an acting class. And Matt Damon said to Ben Affleck, hey, I got an idea about this guy. A character who's like a smart kid, but he never had any of the, you know, the privileges of being able to go to school or anything, but he's really smart. And I wrote this scene, and would you be his friend? Like, I'm just talking. And they wrote this scene. He said, no one in the class liked it. Even so, they looked and they, Ben Affleck said they were stupid enough to go, you know, yeah, I think we should write
what
this.
They think.
Yeah, we should keep writing this. So he kept on writing it. And then they actually started getting like practical about it, saying, we want a model where we have one big actor, which means we have to write a role for an actor with a lot of monologues, but only like sort of like 3 or 4 scenes so that they only have to spend a couple of days on set. And we're going to set everything in a classroom or in a thing. So it's not an expensive film. And that was their whole idea. So
smart.
Yeah, so Matt Damon was always Will. And then Ben Affleck was really cool with his, like, I don't know, I really like the fact that he was the comedy relief best friend guy who was, like, you know, really pulling for him. So, but I loved this film. I was really surprised that, because it's not really a new concept, a smart kid, you know, a secret genius or whatever. But it worked so well. And, of course, they used Afternoon Delight in the film, which I loved.
And then that's going to get Wayne's for every time. How do you like them apples? Hopefully plenty well enough. Surprisingly enough, my number 7 is also a Ben Affleck film. So I'm... all for Ben so far.
The thing is, down low, it don't matter so much,
well,
right?
That's the thing of the way the scoring system that we have worked out. My number 7, I legitimately sat there last night going, I remember that was a good film. I remember kind of how it ends, and I remember some of the kind of way it was shot, and thinking, Ben's got a career as a director ahead of him, which was proven correct with a subsequent
which
film.
Which one is it?
Which may or may not come up on anyone's list. My number 7 is The Town.
Low. That's so on my list, and it's up high.
Someone... I think it might have been George Conway. I know in the Facebook listening community feedback for this week's topic said, this is my generation's The Heat. Oh, sorry, Heat.
Heat, yeah. I agree.
And I think that's a really great synopsis.
This was a bank robber film that was, but what was interesting about it, I remember even when I watched it, because I'm not from Boston, all right?
No, but, it might be hard to believe.
That's right. So, but they, even in the sort of card at the beginning says that, look, this isn't meant to be
Charlestown.
Yeah, it's not meant to rag on those folks at the beginning or at the end or whatever. But basically, the idea
more
is that
robberies per capita.
A lot of people from this town were bank robbers, right? And so, but what was cool about it was, first of all, this is where I decided Jeremy Renner is a great actor.
Well, I have to agree with you here. Now, two things. One, I watched it again today.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I fell 30 minutes short of the ending, but I do remember the actual ending. Mm-hmm. So I don't think I'm... Yeah, but I just couldn't remember everything up until and through that. I forgot Rebecca Hall's even in this.
Oh, the chick from Iron Man? Absolutely.
Yeah, if you want to call her like that. She's been in plenty of other movies
yeah.
and has developed into a wonderful actor.
She is. She's great.
In her own right. But yes, I was surprised because I don't rate Jeremy Renner as that good an actor.
Dude,
This is the best he's ever been.
Really?
In my opinion.
You should check out an episode of Louie that he's in. I'm telling you, like, Jeremy Renner is actually a leading man. What about fucking that Sophia Coppola thing?
He's not even a leading man here. He's like the fourth Bill.
No, what about fucking The Hurt Locker? You know what I'm saying? This guy's got it. He's got it.
In this film, he was very good as a sort of unhinged really great. Member of the group. Ben's doing fine work. Becca Hall's doing fine work. John Hamm getting to play a bit of a badass FBI agent.
FBI guy. He's the shit, man.
Totally forgot all that stuff. And then Blake Lively in this really forgotten sort of...
I completely forgot she was in it.
Yeah, she's Jeremy Renner's sister. And she's like used to hook up with Ben Affleck, and now he's moved on and he's not really interested, but she's dead keen still for him because why wouldn't he be? It's Ben Affleck.
I get it.
And
he's Batman. So
it's a really... good film.
No, you know what it is about The Town, I reckon? The thing that I walked away having not seen it for years and years is that all the way through the film, I remember thinking to myself, this is a good film. Because it wasn't his first thing. He did another one, Gone Baby Gone.
Baby Gone, yeah.
But this one here, for some reason, what I liked was when someone tries to become an auteur and becomes to like, you know, typically when an actor is like, oh, I'm going to do this, like, it tends to be a very arty piece. But he said, no, I'm going to make it about bank robberies. And I'm like, yeah, you know why? Because it's cool to watch.
Well, he was into crime, right? That's all of his films seem to have that thematic element of crime to them.
Crime drama, crime thriller, whatever, that's fine.
You know, that I'm not knocking
it. But like, I mean, like, it wasn't this sort of like, you know, tone poem piece. It was like, it's one of these, like, this is a great film.
It's not overly fast paced. Like, it's very Heat-ish in its piece, in its pace, I should say.
Yeah,
its beats.
Yeah.
So I managed to combine those two words there. That, like, there's an action scene / robbery at the start, and then that sort of the aftermath of it and how they're going to deal with the witness and all the rest of that. And then there's another action robbery scene, and then the chase, which is really well put together, I think, as well. And then we're getting into the last action beat of the film, which is the last robbery. So,
and that's what I think I like about his stuff, is he's writing obviously about the bro-ness in his films, Good Will Hunting included, all these sort of things. Like, he's like the Jeremy Renner. He's like, you know, this when the girls, oh, someone called me a toonie, this, that, whatever. What do they look like, right? Then he goes to Jeremy Renner and says, we got to go hurt someone, and you can't ask me why I'm doing it. He goes, who wants to drive? Or whatever he said. Yeah,
that's good memory. That's exactly how it's
I remember going, oh, that's such a cool moment. I'm like, oh, this is boy, you know. And then he takes off his mask.
And he can't help himself. He shoots the guy in the leg. Like,
yeah, he's the loose cannon, right? Oh, so literally. that's so
and
well
then
played.
And you find out why later in the film he's done time for Ben Affleck.
Exactly.
He saved him. Well, we're never sure whether the guy really was going to kill Ben Affleck's character, but he says he thought he was going to, so he killed him.
You know that scene where Rebecca Hall walks out Ben Affleck is out with her, and then Jeremy Renner just comes and sits down. And
then she walks out and she's all silent.
Silent. And I was thinking, oh my God, this is such a novel thing. Then he sits down and Jeremy Renner goes... And then he has this whole conversation with her, like, yeah, he keeps on taking his work home with him.
Yep.
You know, I was like, this is so good. This is well written.
Yeah.
So
Ben Affleck didn't write the film, but nevertheless, he's adapted it really well.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, it's really great.
Okay, cool. What's your number six?
My number six is The Bourne Identity.
It's not on my list.
Really? Any of them? Do you like any of them? All right, so here's what I think.
This is the action film franchise, which I think is so overrated.
Do you really?
Yeah, I know what they did, but we know how you like spy films more than I like films.
Yeah, I think that's what's going on
here. I hate the way this film was shot. And I know it's Doug Liman, and I know that we love Doug Liman most of his films, but this one was a real letdown for me, and I don't understand the furore and fuss around these films.
Okay, so what I think happened with this series, because the one... I like this only marginally better than the Bourne Ultimatum or whatever. It went all different ways. I can't even... There was a Jeremy Renner one in here that he wasn't even in, yada, yada, yada. But what I like about the Bourne Identity, because I'll happily tell you that the flaw with the Bourne Identity was that in the scenes where, like, it's a fight hand-to-hand scene, they just sped up the film.
Oh.
And it was obvious
nothing
that they sped it up.
Nothing shits me more.
Yeah, and I was like, why did you do that, Doug?
About action scenes.
Yeah, no, and I'm like, that's actually...
Steven Seagal.
Oh, that's different again. No, but so that is the only problem with it. But in every other way, it was this sort of, it was like an American Euro film. That's what I felt about it. And like having that Lola Run girl, what's her name? Whatever her name is.
Franca Potente.
That's right. Yes.
Franca.
Yeah. That made it even, I don't know, everything about it I liked because it was that odd sort of underlit kind of like European kind of thing. But I really liked it. And they had the shitty little car and a chase. And it's, I don't know. I really, really liked The Bourne Identity. But that thing at the end where he jumped over like 10 flights of steps, but just put the guy under him as he was falling. And that's how he survived that fall.
Yeah.
That was a little weird. I will admit that. But he shot people on the way down. So that was kind of cool.
I don't think it's a bad film. I want to clarify my earlier statement. I don't hate it. I don't think it's bad. I just think it's okay.
It's okay. Perfunctory.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing, serviceable. Nothing really blew my socks off about it, nor any of the subsequent sequels, nor the one where Jeremy Renner pops up as the alternate fucking spy through the program. Mm. They're all fine.
It must be a spy movie buff guy thing.
Yeah, fair enough.
Absolutely.
My number six is where Matt finally enters the fray on my list. It's The Martian.
Yeah, The Martian's great, and oddly,
don't know if there's room for it in your list, Wayne.
No, there isn't. It's not. It's not on my list. God, you should see the fucking almost rans on this list. The honorable mentions. It's huge.
Martian, directed by Ridley Scott, an adaptation of a pretty popular novel, which I think started its life online and then ultimately was adapted for this screen here. Yeah, one of the films we covered, was it 2019? 15, geez, one of the very early podcast coverage films we reviewed. And it's not a one-man show because we get the efforts on Earth with lots of really great actors on Earth strutting their stuff to get Matt Damon's Martian back, who's stuck up there and the like. But it's all him. He's having to emote and react to stuff without anyone else around. Yes, there's dialogue scenes with them back on Earth while he can still talk to them. That part's really good, but I think it's when he's by himself and he's really selling it all. He's talking to camera.
Bro.
in a way that very few films can pull off. I think this is an excellent, excellent film.
I remember watching this film. Two things. One, here's where I fell in love with Jessica Chastain. And two...
a lot of people, I'm sure.
Yeah. This is where I sat there going, oh, this guy is selling a movie purely on, yes, acting talent, but his charm.
Yeah.
He's holding a whole movie by being charming and talking to the camera and listen to this and yada, yada. And all the things he's doing is like, if it wasn't Matt Damon having the talent of this charm, this isn't a movie. So it's a great film. Yeah. Like I said, just missed out because I was going favorites rather than best.
Well, that's what we're doing here.
I think we're
ranking. We're not arguing that this is the greatest film. Totally. Is the greatest film that either of them made. But once we get a little higher on the list, you'll see that the rest of that does not hold true.
Yes.
All right. So far on your list, Wayne, at the halfway mark here, Ben has scored only 7 points from you.
Hmm.
Matt has scored 13.
Oh.
Ben on my list has scored 10. That's for a total of 17. And Matt has scored 5. For a total, therefore, of 18. 18 to 17, Matt leads halfway through the list.
Yeah, but that don't mean dick. See, if you're Matt Heavy on the top five, he going to win, right? So there you go.
Well, let's find out. Wayne, what's your number five?
Argo.
Argo. Ooh.
Now.
Argo, fuck.
Argo should not have interested me, even though it's about people posing as a film crew in order to get people. It's a spy story, kind of.
Yeah.
But it's not the spy story like James Bond. It's like spy story.
It's a thriller.
Yeah, and of course, it's a true story.
Based on a true story, yeah.
And the whole idea of them creating a fake movie, which they had to treat like a real movie so it would be real, I mean, believable, rather, and going all the way to, you know, internationally to try and get these people out, I didn't expect to like it so much. And then it became completely engrossing for me. And the fact that it's set in the 70s or whatever, right, would only serve to actually attract my ire more because I can't stand brown looking shit like terracotta fucking suits. Like, why? Would it, anyway, but, and the hair. But even so, really, really great film. Absolutely adored it. And in fact, towards the end of the film when they're on the plane, I was kind of shitting my pants because I didn't know how it actually ended in real life.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen now. And then it's very satisfying. So I loved me some Go.
It's on my honorable mentions. Couldn't find a place for it on my
fair
list.
Enough, fair
I
enough.
I do understand.
Enough.
My number five is also a Ben film. Directed by Gavin O'Connor. We also covered it in the life of the podcast from 2016, The Accountant.
Bro, The Accountant was so good. And wait, is it on my list? Is it on my list?
Your enthusiastic reaction here is about to be undermined.
Shit, no, it's not on my list. Because it is, yeah, you know what? I remember going.
Did you
forget? No, it was on the list, and then I bumped it off because, again, The Accountant is, I'm surprised it's so high on your list. You know why? You know why it's high on Paul's list, everyone? Because it fooled him.
It did.
It was one of those movies that fooled him.
Very rarely does this happen where I did not see. I'm like, why the fuck?
And then you're, oh!
The fuck is, what's his name's character in it? John Bernthal's character. What has this got to do with fucking anything way through?
One of the few movies where I sort of picked it and Paul didn't. Yep. So there you go.
And I totally, I'm like, oh, of course. Oh, fucking what an idiot, of course.
You know, I saw it again recently, like maybe 6 months ago. I forgot Anna Kendrick's in it and all that sort of stuff. But
which is a real lodestone on the
You floor. Don't like Anna Kendrick?
Fuck no.
Why? She's cute as a button, Paul.
She's right behind Anne Hathaway as my most hated.
Oh my God. You just don't like cute bitches. Anyway, so.
You mean cute women?
If I went there. Yeah. Paul, then it's not a funny show. Okay, if I'm PC, it's not, you're the PC guy. Anyway.
I want to keep my job.
Yeah, that's right.
You apparently give zero fucks about that.
I'm just hoping no one listens. Okay.
When all else fails, a stubborn refusal to accept the facts will see you through every time.
Yes, of course I meant women, boss. What the fuck was I going to say?
Well, I was going to say, yeah. So he's playing, this is a math savant. He's on the spectrum.
Yes.
Quite clearly. He's neurodivergent. But he's also an assassin and he goes in there and poses to be an accountant to get close to people and areas he needs to. And then.
Because his dad was a military guy who forced him to learn to fight.
And his little brother, the whole time, where's little brother? Older brother, can't remember. Where's his brother gone?
Little.
His little brother. Where's his brother gone? What happened? Why aren't they telling us what happened to him? Oh, yeah.
And then you figure out.
It's 8 years old.
It doesn't matter. Some people won't want to watch it anyway. But you know what was cool though?
He already said it. Spoiler earlier. It's his brother. I think he already said that. So.
All right, fine. Try and whatever. But you know what was cool though? His system where he does that thing where he blows his fingers and then he goes and he's figuring out like this big accounting issue with someone by writing all over the walls and the windows and stuff. And just I loved even though I'm a really, really unorganized, disorganized man, watching someone with such a procedure and such a like cool ritual is really, really pleasing for me. So that's why I love that film. But it's also really great, kind of great action film.
It's a good, it's more a thriller than action film, but with action beats.
Yeah, thriller action-y thing. Yeah, fair enough.
Surprised me, really enjoyed it. I think it made my top 10 of that year. The Accountant is my number 5.
Nice one. My number 4 is Gone Girl, so we're going over to you, Billy.
Bounce back to me. That's points more for Ben, mm-hmm. who has now raced to the lead, I have to say. That's and awesome. Is going to score more points here.
Ben, it's not really a lot of Ben. It can go. You know what? It's a lot of Ben. Not till the end, you know.
I'm not prepared. Oh, I reckon Ben could do this. My number 4 is Jay and Silent Bob Strike.
Number 4, motherfucker. Number 4. Really?
Clearly, I'm not saying it's a better film than The Martian, The Town, The Accountant, or John Gill, but I enjoy it more. I fucking
That's
love.
Fine. That is completely.
I
fine.
Love this movie. It's fucking hilarious. And we get not one but two Ben Afflecks because he's playing both characters that he's been in through, and they're not for long. They're glorified cameos, but yeah, two together. And I reckon this is a Ben.
Wait,
film.
Which one is this? Is the Strikes Back is the one where
Strikes Back is the one where they go on the road to stop Blunt Man and Chronic being made into
a
film.
Yeah, yeah, and Ellie Larder is in it and stuff like that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, where they do the
now Ben Affleck's in this one too.
Isn't it twice? Because he plays both the characters he's been in. He plays Holden McNeil,
and
he sold the rights to I don't think Matt Damon.
No, he is because they do a Goodwill Hunting wee thing.
Yeah, for like again, this is what I'm saying. He's in it for like one fucking moment.
He's in that whole scene where Ben Affleck and Matt Damon are redoing Goodwill Hunting.
Ben Affleck's playing Holden McNeil and Ben Affleck himself, right?
Yeah.
Matt Damon is in it, play Matt Damon, where we get the whole scene where he's like, your finger is so far from the pulse. It's all the way up the like that whole bit, it's Holden McNeil.
Yeah, but then the whole with the Goodwill Hunting bit.
Like, yeah, for like two lines. No one cares, Matt. Where,
applesauce, bitch.
Yeah.
That's a whole scene.
But it's mostly Ben.
Man, I think they're both in this film, but all right, bitch, if you want to play it like that, but it's some bullshit.
Ben is literally third ranked on this film. Let me tell you how far down Matt gets, if he even gets. He does not.
Okay. So. Just for fun, to make this episode more interesting, I'm pulling for Matt, and I hope he wins and fuck you.
Well, Jennifer Lopez is on my side. Jennifer Garner's probably on yours.
Okay, this is fun now.
Very funny film. I think one of the funniest films made of all time.
It's probably his.
And it's purely for... It's purely for the fans of the Viewers universe, and I love it for that. It's unabashedly, if you like my shit, watch this. If you don't like my shit, fuck off.
Yeah.
And his whole but when it was still funny, because when he read it again, whatever it is, it when they reboot, James Bond reboot.
Oh, piece of
it's
shit.
It's fucking shit.
Piece of shit.
Most of Kevin Smith's films in the last 15 years have been pieces of shit.
Yeah. So. The last good movie he did was...
Red State,
absolutely. So there you are. Nice one. All right.
Lucky he's a lovely guy, and we owe an absolute debt.
I watch his podcast all the time, so
wonderful,
I love him.
Wonderful podcast.
Not even a rag on him at all.
Okay.
Is it your turn? My turn.
That's you for number 3.
Number three? No, number 4, man.
No, your number 4 is Gone Girl.
Oh shit. Okay, well, number 3 is The Town, so we're back to you.
Oh,
that's right. The Town was fucking great, Paul.
Damn, Ben.
Yeah, baby.
Racing away with this, because you know what my number 3 is, Wayne.
What?
And this is not your list. You have dropped the ball in a massive way.
Go on.
It's Armageddon.
All right. I on purpose put it up.
Fuck
right?
off!
Look, Huntington Bear.
You're trying to tell me that does not feature in the top 10 best films we like of these two actors.
Because of the fucking animal cracker scene, Paul.
No.
All right, it was a piece of shit.
You
can eat my veg.
It's funny you say piece of shit because that's what you are.
That may be the best burn I've ever heard.
You have incensed me.
Look, you know what happened, right? We were the only two champions. Yes, I'm a cunt. But also, we were the only two champions because everyone else was like, "Ooh, Michael Bay, fuck you," right? And then now you're feeling a little hurt because I didn't join you.
That's right.
I know, but also...
I'm flying the Armageddon flag. Me and Nicole Presley, who named it in her best three films in the first.
Tell us why you liked Armageddon so much, Paul.
Come on, it's great. This is the dumbest fucking film ever made.
Oh, yeah.
And I love it to pieces.
I like it too. It just wasn't on the list.
It embraces its stupidity. An animal cracker scene aside, this film is visual porn. It is so good and so well directed.
You know what? One thing I'll say in Ben's favor is that having to do that scene, even though this was like you know, fairly early on in his career, right? It's like, okay, I want you to, here's the fucking giraffe. It goes up your fanny and takes a shit in your fucking bed. You know, whatever he does, right?
So this is the dumbest shit anyone ever said.
He didn't say that exactly.
In the history of, and I don't think I'm exaggerating.
He was doing
here.
Something Time. Like that. I was
like, imagine trying to
I'm making it better than it fucking
Liv
was.
Tyler. Here's the fucking giraffe. It goes up your ass and takes a shit.
I'm making that scene work way better than he did, unfortunately. So I would have gone, look, I don't have any clout here, but this scene is a piece of shit. Can you just make it a straight sex scene? Come on. So anyway.
Oh, fucking hell.
Anyway.
Wayne has forgotten where he came from on this one.
Oh, God. I have. But also in a way that's amusing, I hope. Yeah, so well, there
made
you
me
are.
Laugh. Almost tears.
Okay, actually, Armageddon tears. Is your number three, is
Armageddon
it?
Is my number three. Saving the world, where Bruce Willis sacrifices himself and Ben Affleck gets the girl because he somehow is so important in this movie so early on in his career. So
he got the end credit. Harry! We talked about this the other week.
Harry!
I love you, Harry.
Come on. That's acting. I don't care that there are literally, apparently... Went on the Binge Movies podcast and defended this film to.
Did you?
To Jason's
that's why
patrons.
You fought this fight
I
before,
will
Paul.
Fight this fight till the dying day.
That's what it is.
It is a Criterion Collection film, ladies and gentlemen. You can all suck a fucking dick or boobs or whatever you like to suck on, lollipops, if you can't get on board with that.
I don't know if suck a lollipop is quite the admonishment that suck a dick boobs is, but okay.
Lucky you're a piece. You mentioned a piece too, because that's what you are.
Well done. Well done.
All right. What's your number two?
My number two is.
If you think I'm angry about number three, if you don't have my number one, I will flip a table.
I'm gonna be interested to hear that. My number two is Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, thank you. We're safe.
All right. Fine. Now, obviously, I had a little bit of a toss up between this and, let's say, another film.
It's amazing that this is not your number seven.
I know. I was gonna do it as a gag, but like, okay. No, I'm going weird with this one. Saving Private Ryan, the reason it is not my number one, despite being probably one of the better movies made, is that it's so hard to watch. It is such a hard watch.
That means it succeeded, though.
Yes, I know. I know. So it's not a rewatch. So it's less a favorite and more of a best of. So, but like in terms of a film that gut punch, like that opening scene, I can't watch it again, man. It's too fucking hard. Motherfuckers picking up their own arm and shit. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. It was so tough. And Steven Spielberg is dead. This is his best film?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Well, I think we've done that countdown. I absolutely have it as his best film. I know lots of people don't agree with me.
People think Jaws.
Jaws.
Some people think
that's
Jaws.
That's a very, very noble runner-up, I think.
Yeah, and it's his first-ish film. But yeah, no, Saving Private Ryan, the fact that they did all of this and made it work the way it was, and like this is like, and it's funny because like I was thinking about, Courage Under Fire was a good Matt Damon film. Steven Spielberg saw him in that movie and said,
you can be our private
Ryan. Well, he said, you would be good if you weren't so skinny. But then he was bulked up later in his career and said, oh, actually, he would make a good
Something's
Saving
Something's never
Private
changed.
Ryan. There you go.
I mean, it's not Jesse Plemons, but anyway.
Has he gotten fat?
Well, Jesse Plemons is large Matt Damon, basically.
No!
Those two are like almost interchangeable.
What? Let me think.
Have you never seen that?
Never!
But now I pointed it out.
Well, I want a ranger.
Not always. Often... Jesse is a blonde haired guy.
So you're saying he's a fat Damon?
Yeah.
He's fat Damon?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to think about this and come back to you. I never thought that before. Nice
wow,
one.
Okay.
Okay.
My number two is a Matt film. It's Martin Scorsese's only Academy Award winning film. It's your number one, I assume.
Of course,
it's
Departed. Departed.
Yep.
That's right.
We had one great film set in Boston. Now we've got another great film set in Boston.
Yes.
I'll stop doing it now. Sorry, Joey.
Well, we don't.
Mark Ellis.
We should play the game, the pretend way. Yeah, I'm a co-op. You're not a co-op. You're a co-op. Right? So, yes, The Departed. Absolutely, Paul. This is, in my opinion, the best of the best either of them.
I can't fault you on that. If you're saying The Departed is better than Saving Private Ryan, I can respect it even if I don't agree with it. So.
Yeah. So, The Departed. I think this is one of the few films that I could quote to you where I don't know a single person who disliked this film. Like, everyone loved The Departed. And even Martin Scorsese, in his making 12-hour movies ass, this one so much quicker than even his other efforts. It was really, really great. And probably, I mean, look, Alec Baldwin's in it. I love Beast of Alec Baldwin. He's essentially the comedy relief with Marky Mark. But that whole scene with Alec Baldwin with the, you know... Ha, what are you? Sorry, you fucking, go fuck yourself. That was so good. So I've always loved The Departed. And given that it's a remake of a Hong Kong film.
It is.
It still killed? That means he's rewriting the rules, man. Who does a remake of a Hong Kong film and then it becomes a fucking Oscar winner? Forget about it. One guy talking.
I think this film is everything you said. And it is. It's like a second draft of an already great film.
Yeah.
With one of the greatest directors who's ever lived at the helm. How could it not be great? And Jack Nicholson, in the latter parts of his career... Effortlessly dominating.
He is effortlessly. If you even watching him when he's being his mob boss guy or whatever, I'm like, you know what? It's just so good to watch him. That's why he's still Jack Nicholson. That's why he's still getting
Leo, Matt Damon, just everyone on top of their game here. And so much. Even Marky Mark.
Marky Mark's great in this film.
Nominated for Academy Award, I think.
Bro, I actually think he's a good actor.
Just absolutely incredible. And the way the film plays out so unpredictably is, I think, it's real strength. Like, they weren't afraid.
Oh, bro.
They weren't afraid to go places that are dark. Holy I don't know why shit. We're talking around spoilers now.
No, we should, because just in case anyone, you know, but like,
somehow you have listened to this podcast for even three episodes and we've never mentioned The Departed before. And you're like, oh, that film sounds all right. Maybe I should give it a go. Please do.
Yeah, because when things happen in that film, I myself went, what the fuck just happened?
And to really just quickly summarize it, the mob plant one of their guys in the police force who rises through the ranks. The police force plant one of their guys in the mob who rises through the ranks. Who will be found out first? Who's the mole? Who's not? Oh, really great stuff.
Totally awesome.
Because
we've seen it
one way or the other before, but never at the same time.
Exactly.
All right, Wayne. Therefore, we have our list. Let's run through them just to rank so people can keep an eye on it. Although I don't know if we'll compare these lists, but anyway.
Yeah, okay. You go me first?
Yep.
10, Dogma. 9, Chasing Amy. 8, The Talented Mr. Ripley. 7, Good Will Hunting. 6, The Bourne Identity. 5, Argo. 4, Gone Girl. 3, The Town. 2, Saving Ryan's Private. And number 1, The Departed.
And number 1A, Armageddon for Wayne.
What the fuck was that? Oh my God. Paul, everyone. Even your accidental sound drops are too fucking long. Paul accidentally hit a button on something, and frankly, I think we should leave it in.
I think we'll leave it in. Fuck it. All right, my 10 through 1. Clearly, that's one we haven't played in a long, long time.
Yeah.
My number 10 was... Fuck, I should get on the right screen. It's completely thrown me.
It's all gone to hell.
10, Smoking Aces. 9, Chasing Amy. 8, Gone Girl. 7, The Town. 6, The Martian. 5, The Accountant. 4, really fucking up the somethings. Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. 3, The Armageddon. 2, The Departed. And number 1, The Saving Private Ryan. Honorable mentions, Wayne. Yeah, give me real quick.
Okay. Green Zone, True Grit.
True Grit, yes.
Ford v Ferrari.
Yeah, okay.
The Martian. Ocean's 11.
I'm surprised that's on your list.
I know. It really just... And Rounders was a great fucking film as well.
Give that man his money. Give that man his money.
Oh, and you know what? Paycheck was good, so fuck everyone. That was a good-ass movie. And so was...
I'm not saying Hypnotic.
And so was Shakespeare in Love. Let's see here.
I've seen bits of it, none of it.
Okay. I liked Boiler Room, but I was a young man back at the time.
I had True Grit, Ocean's 11, Argo, and The Last Duel was...
That was a good show too, you're right. Good show.
Last film there. All right, Wayne, here now to reveal the
results.
Let's
go. Who won?
I got to do some quick math here to make sure I've not screwed this one up.
Math away.
On your list, Wayne... I have Matt, 1, 4, 8, 13, 22, 32 points for Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Ben, 1, 3, 7, 13, 20, 28? 28 points for Ben. So Matt wins for you.
Okay.
Your golden boy has come through with 4 points. All right. My list, I have Matt getting 5, 9, and 10. So that's 24 points. Ben gets 1, 3, 6, 10, 16, 23. Is that right? Hang on, I'll do that again. 6, 10, 16, 23, 31. Oh, shoot, this is close. Ben wins by 3 points as we total it up. Matt scores 56. Ben scores 59.
Ah!
We have crowned a new winner. My boy has come through. J-Lo rejoices. Jay Garner and Wayne can go and have a fucking cry in the corner.
Well, why don't you suck his Batman dick, Paul? Why don't you do that?
Better suck his Armageddon dick if I have to.
It's the same dick. Actually, it's probably harder back. Oh, there you go. There you go.
Okay.
Excellent.
There we go. Def Leppard references aside. Let's move into what your feedback was on the topic at hand, segment that we call the Pop 10.
So just to clarify, Ben Affleck won, Matt Damon did not.
Well, clarifying, I've done that. Yes.
Okay, continue.
Matt Damon has been consigned to secondary status in that relationship forever.
By the thinnest of margins. Well,
whatever. You need to create, it doesn't matter. You win by 0.01001 of a second or you win by 15 seconds, you still win. Sorry, Matt.
I lick my crack. I'm not. All right, let's go.
Talk about Pop 10. Talk about Pop 10.
Kicking off this week's Pop 10 with Brianna Petty, who's at number 3, Dogma. Number 2, Good Will Hunting. And number 1, The Departed.
The Departed. You know, Brianna said she found that road trip was funny, screw Paul, and also laughed that I called you Cuntington Bear. Just remember that.
Unless Brianna sends it to everyone. I don't believe you.
Hit me, Paul. I'll send it. Okay, fine.
No, I do. Fine, fine. Yes. Number three from John Huslander, patron of the show, The Departed. He actually even put that in there. That's the masshole accent coming through. He wrote D-E-P-A-H-T-E-T.
Masshole, like Massachusetts. That's funny. That's funny.
Number two, The Bourne Identity. Number one, Good Will Hunting. And to beat an old joke in the ground, we all know what Wayne Reeves' number seven is going to be. Damon clearly has higher highs, but man, they both had some putrid lows as well.
Well, so does everyone.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's get away from life without that. Number three, Jesse Dixon really playing on the cameo card here with number three, Thor Ragnarok, starring Matt Damon as actor Loki.
Even I didn't do
number
that.
Number two, Saving Private Ryan. Number one, The Departed again. Timothy Williams says it's got to be Affleck, right? He married both J-Lo and Garner. Number three, The Town. Number two, Mallrats. Number one, The Departed. The cast, the story, the Boston accent, love it all. Cranberry juice. What is it? Your period. Honorable mention to Matt Damon's role in Team America World Police. Luke Norton had Downsizing controversially. Number two, Elektra.
Really?
Number one, Daredevil. Oh, wait, no, just kidding. Number three, The Accountant. Number two, Saving Private Ryan. Number one, The Martian. Nick Hemming had The Martian, The Departed, and Saving Private Ryan. And a man who's a Bostonian himself, Joey DiCarlo, Affleck by a mile. That is all the reinforcement I needed, Wayne.
Evidently.
Number three, Armageddon. Number two, The Town. Number one, Mallrats.
The guy from Fashionable Male.
There you go. Number, this is from Josh Ragland, the patron show. Argo at number three, Departed at number two. In the correct order, I will add, because number one, Saving Private Ryan. Number one, thank you for all that, Josh. Smiley Samani, mate to us, said, not including Damon's brilliant Bourne trilogy or Affleck's, I think, excellent turn as Batman is not as crap movies. Number three, The Accountant. Affleck's wooden acting works here to perfection. And any movie that with the sport cast of John Bernthal, Emma Kendrick, John Lithgow, and J.K. Simmons is going to get the job done. Number two, another mention, Downsizing. Are we Matt Damon trying to find himself? The movie itself is a bit haphazard in its themes. I quite enjoyed it. And number one, The Adjustment Bureau, Emily Blunt, enough said. I think you might have missed the spirit of the countdown there.
Bro, The Adjustment Bureau fucking is such a long film. Ugh, don't.
Matt Evans said The Town, technically the only time Affleck has turned up to act, and he is very good in that film. Number two, True Grit. Damon adds this underappreciated Western. And number one, The Martian. Damon shows his horticultural side by growing potatoes off a discarded veggie bag of soiled poo underpants he found at the Vic Park shops.
Vic Park We do have those.
That is a local reference.
Yeah.
Thank you for that, Matt. Jonathan Kidd said The Last Duel was gnarly as hell. Number three. Number two, The Rainmaker. Coppola made better by Damon and DeVito. And number one, The Town. This guarantees Affleck can make whatever garbage he wants for life.
Like Live by Night.
Yeah, that was pretty garbage. And let's wrap it up with Ben Burnham said, Affleck or Damon? Definitely. Damon or Affleck? I reckon Damon just about shades it, especially as Affleck has been in a few god-awful pieces of garbage. Number three, Argo. Number two, The Adjustment Bureau. Gotta love some dick. Philip K, joke for Wayne. And Blunt and Damon are great together. And number one, Good Will Hunting. Seems appropriate to end on this. How do you like them apples?
There you go.
There we are. That's our countdown of Matt Damon versus Ben Affleck. Ben has been anointed the winner, much to Wayne's disgust.
Yes.
And my surprise / happiness. That is great.
You know, I think it's a nice show.
Yeah, for the most part. We could call back to the moments of controversy. We don't need to.
We could, but we won't.
We won't. Wayne, what's happening next week for episode 465 of the countdown?
I believe we're doing a top 10 last 10,
Paul.
We are.
Now, as always, is tradition now, before a top 10 last 10, Wayne, with 1 week to go until we record, how many films do you need to watch?
It's like, I mean, six.
It's actually better than last time.
It's not bad. It's not bad, is it? It's not
last
bad.
Last time was seven. One
it
a day.
Seven, yeah.
So maybe a bit of a matinee show on a Sunday.
Well, you know what? Oh, no, I won't ruin the surprise. I've watched one and I'm like, well, that's technically a movie. So we'll see how it goes.
Have you seen TV shows? Like,
I have.
Enough of them? Like all of them?
No, not all of them.
If you want to include something, you've seen all of them in, or enough of it.
Thank you, thank you. I might, if I have to, I will take you up on that. Thank you.
You don't vote against each other and stuff, so there's like, you know, the rules can be a little bit.
Exactly.
What's the word? Loose.
Very kind of you, Paul.
Yeah. All right. Well, how the good folk get in touch with Wayne, or let us know what they thought about the show / indeed feedback more generally.
Google the Countdown Podcast. Find our socials and follow us all over the place. There's links in the show notes. Or send us an email at thecountdownpodcast@gmail.com or check out our website, thecountdownpodcast.com.
We're on X at The Countdown PC. Like and follow the show on Podbean, where we host. And I've mentioned enough times today, the Facebook community is the only place you get involved seriously in the show. It's been an absolute pleasure triumphing Ben today for you. My name is Paul.
My name is Matt.
Loser.
Wayne.
And this has been The Soundboard.
You can't handle the truth.
Ben wins. We'll catch you next time. See ya.